Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I very rarely need to go to the loo during a race, but as I ran towards the checkpoint, knowing that I still had a long way to go, I was considering using the port-a-loo. First, I decided to put my jacket on, now that I was thoroughly soaked, and got into such a fankle. That wasn't the phrase. Fankle? I love that.
Such a fankle. I'm going to look it up.
Look it up. Fankle.
I'm looking it up. I'm looking up fankle.
Oh, I love that. I'm going to say that.
Soft southerners are like, what? Entangle. Entangle. It's Scottish. It means entangle.
Oh, beautiful. Oh. I shouldn't listen to anything too gripping when out of the house. I once had a man stop me with genuine concern on his face and ask if I was all right. I realised in that moment I was in fact crying, so his concerns were reasonable. But luckily, I wasn't out of breath, so I could tell him I was fine. But Molly Weasley was having a particularly horrible time with a boggart. Oh my God, please keep sending them in because those were just two. There are some absolute belters in here.
Hello and welcome to episode 182 of the Women's Running Podcast. I'm your host, Esther Newman, and she's your other host, Holly Taylor. On this podcast, we talk about health, politics, stuff on TV, and what we ate last night. Occasionally, we talk about running. To begin with, we're slightly more deflated than the last episode. We're tired for a couple of different reasons. Once we stop whinging, we get on to the running conundrums, such as, does stopping at water stations count as jeffing? We want your thoughts on that, please. Then we start talking race strategy. Neither of us can quite remember what Holly did at the Paris Half and how she can emulate it if she decides to follow that plan again. We also talk about general training plan panic, that thing where you study hundreds of training plans and try to find one that retrospectively fits what you've been doing. This ties into Holly giving me a bit of a telling off to ground me and my panic ahead of the Barcelona half marathon this weekend. Happily, we have some more embarrassing moments, and we still want more because it cheers us up. So do please email them in at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk. And do please think about becoming a patron of this podcast at patreon.com/womensrunning, because for just £2 a month, you can access our free monthly videos, our weekly newsletters, and you get to join our exclusive Pod Squad chat room as well, where all the fun happens.
Yeah, I'm also knackered because Felix woke me up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. So we had to do the kind of bed switchover. So I slept in her bed and she slept in this bed with Dave. And I am knackered because the sleeping didn't happen. It's really tricky to sleep when you're being surrounded by 40 squishmallows and a life-size unicorn.
Well, I would say I totally get it, but actually that is how I sleep every night, and I sleep like a baby. Oh God, though I haven't been sleeping like a baby, which is what we've just been bitching about before we started recording. Because I've had just annoying. I'm not going to bang on about it because I actually think sometimes that doesn't help as well. Dwelling, it's best to just sort of chalk it up sometimes as that was crap, move on, forget about it, rather than go, oh, I'm anxious because I had an anxious night and now I'm going to have another anxious night and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's best just to sort of go, oh dear, and move on.
Pull your socks up, Paul.
You know, that's how we like to think about mental health in this podcast. Just get on with it. Stop whining.
Fuck's sake. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, dear.
But you have had a bit of a shit time, haven't you?
Yeah, it's what happens with my anxiety. I'm learning now that it's about every 6 months, I get a couple of weeks of it and it's dog shit. And then, fingers crossed, it sort of eases up. It can last longer. It can be like a month. But luckily, since the first time that I ever had it, I don't have it anymore where it's like constantly in my thoughts. Like I'm able to distract myself quite a lot. And weirdly, I'd always found nights quite good and days the tiring thing. But at the moment, the days are absolutely fine. It's just going to sleep and sometimes waking up in the middle of the night with a bit of a racing heart and going, oh.
Scary.
It's not scary, nice. And it's just a bit of a pain. And also I find it really difficult, like we were talking about, because I had it at the National Running Show and we were sharing a room and I was really worried about waking you up. And I think that sometimes makes it worse because then you're really trying to stop it, which is never the answer to a panic attack. You just have to sort of chill and let it go. But I had it last night with Doug where I was like, oh, he's got work and he's got to get up early. And I'm struggling to go to sleep. And at one point I was like, should I just get up and leave and go and sit in the sitting room and watch an episode of Queer Eye or something?
Yeah.
But then also I'm like, but I'm knackered and I've got to run tomorrow and blah, blah, blah. And so then, yeah, anyway, it's just been a little bit, I've been a bit all over the place. But as we said, there's a lot of stressful stuff happening. Work is busy. I'm starting my training plan for New York, buying a house. It is all go at the moment.
Should we start off with that training then about the half
Let's
marathon?
Do it.
Is this the first week of it then?
This is the first week. I was due to go for my first run this morning. I wanted to get up and go in the morning because I've actually been slightly a reformed woman. I've been quite enjoying doing that at the moment, but this morning, after having a really broken night, I was like, it's not the one. So I'm going to go after this at lunchtime. And I'm just going to do a mile and a half.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to do another mile and a half on Wednesday and then a 3 miler on Friday or Saturday.
And are you just going to bash them out or are you walk running it? Or
no, I think I'm just going to bash them out. I've been running for sort of like 15-20 minutes when I've been doing my little morning jaunts at the moment. So I think 15 minutes will probably, maybe a little bit longer, will probably be about a mile and a half. So I think I'm all good. I think I'm just going to take it slow rather than walking any, which, as you know, on this pod, we are big fans of a Jeff. So
absolutely,
this is absolutely not shaming a walk run in any way. But I think this time my tactic, if I'm feeling a bit knackered, is just going to be to run a bit slower rather than walk.
Yeah.
Because getting to the point at the moment where sometimes if I walk, it's more difficult psychologically to get myself to start running again.
Mm-hmm.
As they get longer, we'll see how that goes. But I think for sort of a mile and a half, 3 mile runs, that's sort of how my brain's going at the moment.
Yeah, I really agree with that. I think it was New York Marathon. I know it was New York Marathon where I, so mostly when I've done, you know, when I was doing the other two marathons, I carried all my hydration on my back and just plowed on through. And it's actually quite a nice, it's quite a positive, uplifting feeling to run past the water stations when everyone is veering off and slowing down and walking to take on the water. And I've got like several things here. So in New York, there was this, and I'm sorry, I've taken the narrative away from you.
But away from me, please. I've been banging on.
No, you haven't. It was just, there's a couple of things. And one of them is that New York, because of that kind of policy they had about how you couldn't carry more than a litre. And yeah. I normally would like, you know, a good solid 2 litres for a marathon of kind of water and electrolytes and stuff. So because of that, it meant that I had electrolytes in my water bottles, but I stopped at stations to drink water. And because of environmental stuff, they don't do water in plastic bottles anymore, mostly in these marathons. It's in sort of paper cups. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very difficult to run with a paper cup half filled with water. It's like some sort of ridiculous game show from the 1980s.
Yeah, egg and spoon race.
Yeah, it's really bad. And I did throw water over my face inadvertently a good 5 times during the New York Marathon. Until I sort of realized that what I needed to do, I mean, there's all this kind of pinching the top in order to make a sort of spout and stuff like that. But what I needed to do was to actually stop running, have a nice big glug, and then carry on running. So I'm going to use inadvertent again. Inadvertently, it meant that I was employing a bit of a walk-run method because I was stopping every mile to have water. And I was walking for about 5 paces and then setting off again.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't count. I've stopped at every water. Well, maybe not every if I've not needed it, but I try and stop at every water station and every race that I've ever done because it just feels like a little treat, doesn't it?
It is a little treat. Well, that's the thing. I guess I wouldn't technically say that I jeffed New York Marathon. Because I didn't.
No, I don't think stopping at the water station counts. Right in. Let us know. I wouldn't count.
Does it count though? But does it? Because I think from probably about mile 10 or somewhere around there, like maybe halfway through, I stopped running at every water station, and there are water stations at every mile along New York, and I did see it as my treat. It's like, oh, I've made it for another mile. Okay, yeah. Right. I'm going to walk for 4 steps, have that water and set off again. But I wanted to also agree with what you were saying, that setting off after you've walked like just 4 steps is really, really hard. I think that's the...
Oh, it's brutal.
That must be so hard when you're doing like proper jeffing. How do you get your head around like that? It's almost like transitioning when you're doing triathlon or something.
Yeah.
It's like really hard to get your feet off the ground again.
Get your intervals that you are jeffing for like short and sharp maybe, because otherwise I think I think you really have to stick to it. Also having a pal, that was so useful, because when I did Paris, I guess that was the time that I really employed a proper walk run strategy and stuck to it. And yes, it was fucking grim some of the time getting back into it afterwards, but I need to go back and listen to the episode because I can't remember exactly what we did, but obviously I was running with Kate, who was with us from sports tours, and she was absolutely lovely and so helpful because
she's quite ruthless, wasn't she?
And quite ruthless. She was like, right. Yeah. She was like, stop running, walk, run again, stop running. And it was really, really good because I just did what I was told, a bit like Couch to 5K or something, where it's like, okay, I'll just listen to the instructions and I'm not having the chance to second guess myself or overthink. But that was, I think what we also did that was quite good is when I've previously done it, I've run for quite a long period of time and then walked for quite a long period of time. Like with Lex, if we've been like a bit hungover or a bit sort of can't be asked, but we know we need to do a long distance or we want to do a long distance. I remember us doing a 10-mile run hungover once and we were like, okay, what we'll do is we'll run 2 miles. Or maybe it was like run a mile, walk a half. I think it might have even been run 2 miles, walk a mile. And that was savage. Yeah. Because if you've really got used to the walking and then you start running again, that was really brutal. But I think when I did it for Paris, the walk stints were quite, they were like a minute or something. So it was...
Because if you're walking a mile and running two or something, you're going to be walking for as long as you're running, if that
exactly.
makes sense.
You're
you?
Walking for like 20 minutes some of the time.
20 minutes.
Like, oh, bloody hell. Yeah. It was not a good plan. We made a terrible mistake.
And I think Paris, I remember it being something like running for 10 minutes and walking for a minute. Does that ring a bell? Something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was running for 10 minutes, walking for a minute. Yeah, I think it was.
Which is enough to replenish you, isn't it? And to kind of...
Yeah.
But not enough, like you say, to kind of think, but this is what my legs do. They don't they don't do that. They don't do it any quicker than this.
No.
That's the kind of concern.
Yes, exactly. It was weird. Oh, but it is so nice to reward yourself with that, because it is like lots of little mini rewards as you go along, a bit like you play that game with gels.
When you're the
like,
gel game.
Oh, here comes a gel. Yeah, it's similar where it's like, oh, it like that half, it was the longest I've ever run a half. Like it was two hours, 45 minutes it took us to do that run. But oh my God, it felt the quickest, because psychologically it was like, often before I knew it, it was like time to start walking again. And I actually, every other half I've done where I've run the whole way, I've got to about 10K and been like, okay, not even quite halfway through. Wow. Whereas this one, I remember getting to 10K and being like, hell yeah, we're fine. It was good.
Oh,
it was
really good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
All hail the Jeff. All hail the Jeff. All hail the Jeff. That was to say.
And what I am really interested in, selfishly, is your training plan, like the arc of your training plan.
Okay.
And this is because I want to talk about me, but I do want to talk about you. But I want to know, have you devised this yourself, your training plan? Are you just following something you've done before?
I slightly have. Do you know what? I'm actually about to slag off womensrunning.co.uk here. I know. I did try and find a trainer, and I have used, to be fair, if you're doing time, not distance, there's a great plan on there that's put together by Laura. And it's that's really good. And I've done that. I did that last time I did the Bath half, I think, and it was really good. Mm-hmm. However, I don't know why, but I think just because it's been quite a long time since I have sort of measured my running in any way. I guess the Vitality 10K was the last time, because I don't run.
Yeah.
I run naked, as they say.
She does.
I don't have a Garmin
literally
anymore.
And figuratively.
Literally and figuratively around the streets of Bath.
Yeah.
I don't have a Garmin anymore. Actually, shout out to any running watch companies if they want to send me anything, because I had to send my Garmin back after I'd tested it. So I don't have that anymore. And I've always got the option of Strava if I want to measure a run or like, but generally, like, I've just been really enjoying going for it, just going. It's been so nice. Like, I've just been running in the morning for, like, honestly, like 20 minutes or something, and it's been really lovely. So I think I just feel, and before, actually, the only other running I'd done was Couch to 5K.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I did a bit more training for the Vitality 10K, that was also just timing. I was just adding time to it. So it's been ages since I've actually measured distance with my running and like how many miles per minute I'm doing. And miles per minute, that'd be pretty impressive, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be good, wouldn't it?
that I'm doing and stuff. So although I don't want to start getting like super bogged down in it all, I did think about it. And then I was like, I think I would quite like to do this one by distance, just so I've got the peace of mind going into New York, because I have heard that there's a couple of hills. I want to feel prepared.
Yeah.
And I think just knowing that I've done like 11 or something before we actually do the big day would be really good. Yeah. Whereas a lot of those training plans, like that time, not distance one that I use for the Bath half, I think goes up to something like an hour and a half, 2 hours or something. And then knowing that you've got to stack, in my case, that would be another half hour to an hour on top of that, is quite a lot. So I'd like to know that I've just got two more miles to go or whatever once I've got to the end of my plan.
And I feel definitely stuck on the kind of mileage as well. Like I really, really, really tried to train in kilometers last year, and it lasted for two runs before I was like, oh, I can't do this.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm firmly imperial in all sorts of measurements.
The imperial march. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that is me as well to a T. I think this is something that maybe you as a forward planner are going to be sick when I say, and also maybe some of the listeners are going to, and maybe people wouldn't advise this. Like, let me know if you wouldn't.
But mm.
So far, what I'm doing is I'm literally just taking it week by week. So for this week, I'm doing a mile and a half, a mile and a half, and then 3 miles. Mm. And I'm just focusing on distance at the moment. And then next week, I think I'll do the same where it's like sort of doubled. So 2, 2, and 4. I've done that before and it worked really well for me. And then, yeah, once I've done, other than that, I'm literally just going to do one yoga and one strength a week. I know people tend to recommend 2 strengths a week, but I know my body and I know that I'll be absolutely fucked if I'm doing 2 strengths a week. And then
also you might just stop doing it. So if you, if you're already
doing
it, I'm just
gonna put myself off. Whereas if I can convince myself just to do a quick strength training, 20 minutes of strength training on a lunch break or something, I know I'll do that. Whereas if I'm like 2 boot camp sessions at 6 o'clock in the morning, then it's not going to last. No. So yeah, I'm just kind of doing it week by week as I go. And then I think when I start getting the distance up a little bit, then maybe I will start thinking about doing some like hill training, intervals, bits like that, because I know you should. Yeah. But if I'm being completely honest, can I be completely honest, brazenly honest on the pod?
You may be brazenly honest. Go.
I already know I'm just not going to do that.
I know you're not going to do it. You were sort of shaking your head as you said it.
Yeah, like, my body language was like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. I think I will probably do my, tell me all those clever running coaches / run leaders who I'm talking to right now, if this is a bad idea. But I think I'm sort of viewing my mobility and strength stuff as my like technical bit. And then the rest of the time, I'm just going to get my body back used to running long distances again. That seems fine to me.
Do you know what? I think, you know, like that person that wrote in, I've forgotten who it was, who just said, look, if you just want to get round, then focus on the endurance, which is exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So
yeah, maybe it'd be a good idea to tackle a couple of hills in preparation because of the fact that we've been told that it's a little bit of an undulating course through Central Park. Could be excited then.
I'm very excited.
But to be honest, I live in Bath, so any run involves hills. So
also, we've walked through Central Park quite recently, and okay, so there's going to be some inclines and things, but we're not talking, it's not bloody Mount Everest, is it? I mean, it's largely quite flat. So I'm sure it won't feel like it. You know, like the tiniest little raised bit when you're running can feel quite dramatic, can't it? But
oh my god, yeah.
I mean, you know, we don't have to take crampons with us or anything. I think it'll be all right.
We'll be fine. We don't have to get our carabiners or whatever they're called. And so yeah, that's my vibes at the moment. I mean, if anybody is also running New York Real Simple Women's Half, which we've been told we need to clarify is on the 28th of April. Apparently we said 26th.
Yeah, in an episode completely cocked that up. And I've changed the show notes now. Yeah, definitely the 28th of April. And I think we are going to, this is one of those shit spoilers, but I'm going to do it anyway. We are going to be able to offer some support with training. And I hopefully from next week for everyone that is signed up to run the half with us.
Oh, cool.
And,
that's why you said I was going to have access. Oh, see, that's another good reason to have, you know, to go with my instincts this week, because can we say anything more about it? Like, is it definitely going to happen, or
not
do you want to leave it till
right
next week?
Yeah, we'll leave it till next week. But it does feel like we're 99% there, and so there will be some support for everyone running it, including us. Thank God. Cool. But one thing I was going to say about your training is, you know, kind of the rule of thumb is to add 10%. So just be careful with maths and stuff that you're not adding on too much. So like you were like, you were going to go 3 miles to 4 miles, and it's actually, that's more than, that's 25%, isn't it?
Not, I know, 10%. But then how do you add 10% and do it in like 12 weeks?
Yeah, it's tricky. Well, yeah. I think,
maybe I should start with four this weekend or something so that I'm...
No, I don't. Well, I mean, I think the other is just to make sure you don't add on too much, like to all of your, look at all of your runs as a whole, add it all up and see if you can add 10% to all of it. But the other thing is, if you are going up by quite big chunks, you could build in a couple of drop down weeks.
Okay.
Because you don't have to go 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. What you can do, and I know it sounds a bit bonkers, is you could do 3, 4, 5, and I'm just talking about the long runs, 3, 4, 5, and then drop down to 3. And then the next week, go up to 7. Well, you could stop, the 6. You could start at 7. But if you build in the drop down, I think that's also a really good way of preventing injury and tiredness, actually. It's a really good way of doing it.
That is something that I'm worried about embarking on this plan, because I think that I have felt a little bit trepidatious. Is that a word? A word?
It's going to be now. I love it.
Okay, nice. Well, I felt a bit trepidatious approaching it. And I was like, I was talking to Lex about it, who, you know, friend of the pod, we've mentioned her a lot. She's currently training for the Bath Half. So she's been a good confidant at the moment to talk about those things with. And she was like, why are you feeling anxious about it? You've done it 4 times before. What's your fears? And I was like, well, I think that actually the thing that I'm the most anxious about is having another Paris situation where something happens, like I don't feel very well, whatever, that puts me out in my training and it means things don't go according to plan. And very wisely, she was like, well, you are in control of that to a degree. Like, you can keep saying to yourself, don't give up, don't give up, don't give up. And then obviously if you are super ill or something, then we tackle that as it comes and work that out.
Yeah.
But like, you know, in the meantime, I think you just have to keep saying to yourself, keep going, which was good. But then the other thing that I was nervous about was, I was like, I've just been really exhausted recently because I've been quite anxious and there's been so much happening and there's loads on this year. Like, there is so much on this year. When I think about the fact that I've decided loosely that this might be the year that I run a marathon, I'm like, lol, because it's also the year that we've decided to buy a house. And even the tiniest things, like today, the estate agent called and was like, would you like their cooker? And I was like, I don't know. It's all so much.
I just said yes to all of that.
I think I am just going to say, I'm going to say yes, unless they want to charge us for it, in which case
exactly,
we get a shit cooker of our own. Yeah, I think basically I'm just a bit nervous about, like, what if I lose steam? What if I get pooped because there's so much else happening, and then it all goes tits up, and then I get to race day and I feel unprepared because I've not been able to do as much as I wanted because I've just, or I've done it all, but I have nothing left in the tank. Those are my fears.
Yeah. Yeah. And having drop down weeks will really, really help with that.
Okay.
And definitely having a taper. And I know you, I can see your face. You are shite at taking a taper before a half marathon because you're like, oh, I've got to put my last long run in and stuff. Really, really, really try hard.
My organization, actually. I always leave it too late. So I'm like, but, well, I've got to do 12 miles now. Too bad. Can't taper because I've not given myself enough time. So
give yourself the out of, like, how long at a minimum does that longest run need to be for you to feel okay about it?
I think
9, 10?
A minimum 10. I would like to do 11. Yeah, but 10.
Okay, well, if you know you've got that minimum.
For 11. I've worked back from 11, but yeah, minimum 10.
I would, yeah, see if you can, like, work ahead, figure out when that would be and when the 11 would be or whatever. And if the 11 is just like a week out, try and pull it forward. Like, even if you're doing your last long run, like the Wednesday, remember it is work, so you're allowed to run on a Wednesday. Even if it's like the Wednesday, like 10 days ahead of it, that'd be better. But don't do it the week before, because then you could turn up. you know, to the start line, feeling really, really tired. I know that. This is just physical stuff and not mental stuff, but this is something you can control by putting it in the diary kind of thing.
Yeah. And do you know what I can't wait for, to be fair? I'm really looking forward to my favourite run. Last time I did a taper properly, which was probably in about 2020. I think that might have literally been in 2020.
Yeah.
Last time I did a proper taper. I did a 5 miler in the sunshine. I was staying with my parents-in-law as well, who live in gorgeous rural Wales. And I did 5 miles in the countryside in the sunshine, and it felt blissful because psychologically I was like, I was in the mood for 10 or whatever, because that's what I've been doing for the few weeks prior. And then doing 5 and it just the sun shining down on me and feeling like that was one of the only times during that training block, because that was the first time that I did a half marathon. So a lot of the training was very tough because I hadn't done any of it. Every time I ran, it was the longest I'd ever run. So it was exhausting. That 5 mile, I was like, I get it. I like running. This is nice.
Yeah.
And I had a bit of a sort of come to Jesus moment during it, where I was sort of ascending, like, I love it.
Well, yeah, it's the spiritual podcast. I think that run, the first, I think probably the first taper you do, like with a marathon, I think I do like 2 weeks of taper, or maybe it might actually be 3 weeks of taper, or whatever.
And the first one you do, I think it's 3 that they say for a marathon,
it's 3,
don't
isn't it?
They?
Yeah, and then almost it's like when you do a first long run after you've done a half marathon as well, that you get that kind of like, shit, this is easy, because you're not doing a half marathon again, are you? You think I'll just go for 10K or whatever, and you just go for your 10K, and then that's the point at which you really need to remind yourself about how far you've come, like how easy it feels. And you just think, oh shit, like 2 months ago this felt really, really, really hard, because you're on the way up, but now knock it
so
out.
So good.
Tuesday morning. Great.
100%. That's just reminded me of another one that, I remember having that first time I did Bath Half. Again, this was in 2020. And it had taken me weeks to run a 5K. And I remember feeling really anxious about it because it was over Christmas. And I knew I needed to hit, because my my first long run of the plan was like 3 miles. So I was like, I need to hit that point where I'm comfortable doing that around the Christmas holidays, and it was savage, and I kept going out, and then I could only do about 2 miles and be like, oh, I need to go home, this is horrible. I just remember finding it really tough. Anyway, got on with it, did the training plan, finally got there, carried on. And actually, interestingly, if there is anyone out there who's listening who's like really struggling with hitting that 5K point, I remember that being feeling impossible, and then once I'd broken through, adding a mile on / adding 10%, as you're supposed to say, but I was adding a mile on every week. That suddenly felt like going from 2 miles to 3 miles was savage. And then going from 3 to 4 was absolutely fine. But I was going to say, I did the Bath Half, blah, blah, blah. And then we went into lockdown. And I remember everyone was doing that thing where it was like run 5, nominate 5, donate 5. Yeah. And you had to run a 5K and give 5 quid to the NHS or whatever. And then tag 5 friends. And I remember doing that 5K and being like, oh, this is piece of piss, mate. And Doug was doing it, and he was like drowning in his own sweat and sort of had his lungs were filling with blood or whatever. And and I was like, oh, this is lush, this is easy. And that was nice. It is really nice when you get those occasional runs where you're like, this is piss.
Yeah.
And it barely ever happens.
But it's weird, isn't it, that you get like, what, 2 runs like that a year, and they're the ones that prop up the rest of your running. It's ridiculous.
That's the sort of,
it is mad. It's mental.
Yeah.
Well, I've got my first half marathon on Sunday.
Tell me, what's going on? Because you're flying to Barcelona on Friday, right?
On Friday, I have to say, I am. And you're going to laugh at me, but I am absolutely terrified. I'm terrified. I feel completely, massively undertrained. I know I'm not, but what I was doing, I'm hoping that other people do this too. What I was doing on Sunday morning before I went for my tapered long run was avidly looking at dozens and dozens of training plans just to see, because I haven't really been following one, but just to see what they all do in the last couple of weeks. So I was like, you know, oh, this one, what does that say? What, you know, and just checking out like distance and mileage and, you know. And so I spooked myself hugely because I was looking at kind of intermediate training plans, which were like, well,
eight
off
miles.
You go on your 15.
Yeah.
15. They were like, do more than.
A so week 15 before. Miles.
A week before. Yeah.
Gross.
That was one no. I read. I know. But I think it's because I saw at least three training plans where the mileage of the long run the week before the race was longer. But all of these training plans were for you to go faster. So it was about, anyway, so you would do like your 15-mile run the week before, you do that at easy pace, and then you would attack your 13-mile half marathon at kind of race pace kind of what they, I don't, you know, we know that I don't have race pace. I just have pace.
No, and we don't. I know we should. We don't have race pace on this podcast.
We don't
I'm
have
afraid.
Race pace.
No, I know that exist. there are some great runners that, like, you know, we've got people who have qualified for Boston and stuff who listen to this pod, and there is a place for us all, and absolutely shout out to you guys. But yeah, I'm just really not good at even knowing what race pace would be. And the idea of viewing a race as a chance to run my fastest rather than just as a chance to like make it through and have a pint.
Yeah.
I need to
I know.
Get my head around that.
it's a tough one. So I gave myself a big old fear on Sunday morning because it felt like every training plan I looked at was telling me to do longer. And I also looked at the runs in between, and obviously they were all like, and this is one of my issues with training plans, generally speaking, like, especially if they're written down and looking at me in the face, if they say more than,
yeah,
you must do 3 miles this morning. If they say 3 miles, a half a mile warm up, 10 times reps of 1 mile times, anyway, all if they start doing that and it starts looking complicated, because I have a pathological hatred of being taught anything, it means I read it and just blank it out.
Yes, right left or whatever.
yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
But I was looking at all of these and I've done, I can't even really call this a training block. It's like a training, like, dollop. Is what I've been doing over the past kind of 8 weeks. Thanks very much. So in this particular dollop, I have done zero technical runs. I've not done any speed work. I've not done any hills apart from just trying to get home. And usually at that point, I'm walking and I'm holding a bottle of Pepsi. I have done nothing at all. And in terms of building up distance, I think I had about 5 weeks of kind of really thinking about it, and I did what I told you that you shouldn't do. I did like 6, 7, 8, you know, just I just built up the long run.
Yeah,
my runs in between have been like same little 3 miler, same little 4 miler.
Fine, you know, honestly, that is what I'm planning on doing. I nodded along with to your advice, but I think that's fine.
I think it's fine.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
So I must admit, because of all of that, I am really, really worried. And I think,
yeah.
I think if I was doing, so I've got this one, which is next weekend. And then a few weeks after that, end of March, there's the Bath half. So I'm doing that. And then we've got New York. And actually, I am less worried about the second two than I am the first one.
Yeah.
And the first one, one of the main reasons I'm worried about it is because it's a press trip. And
I was going to say,
syndrome.
I feel I wanted to ask you that because I know that you can do it. And I know really that you know that you can do it. And I was going to do all of the pep talks about you've not done any speed work, you were saying. We were just talking about the fact that we had that brilliant woman write in a little while ago and change our lives by going, by the way, you know, if you don't want to increase speed, like you don't really have to do that. So yeah. I was going to remind you of all of that and be like, you've told me that your A goal for this is getting around it, checking out a bit of Gaudi and having a good day, having some tapas afterwards. But I was going to ask, I was going to be like, do you think that part of the nerves and anxiety actually is not really to do with the running 13 miles bit? Because you know you can do that. That's almost the safe bit. The scary bit is the fact that press trips are a bit scary. We're very lucky to go on them. Please don't get us wrong. It's so very, very
fortunate. It's amazing.
It's amazing. Really scary.
It's really scary. It is really scary. And this is with, it's with Brooks. And Brooks are actually famously one, I think, of the more sort of inclusive like brands. It's all kind of run happy, isn't it? And that's great. And it's supporting kind of all runners. And I love it. But if I was running on Sunday with like our gang, if it was pod squad times, I would feel far less stressed because then it would just be about getting around and being happy and enjoying it. But I'm going to be there with a load of press journos, and it's not necessarily press journos that I know, because when they do these trips in Europe, it's lots of European press journos. So it means that you get very athletic people from Germany and Denmark. And
I was just going to say Germany. When I went on, the last one I went on was with Hoka. And again, like they looked after us beautifully and it was absolutely lovely. And I haven't been paid to say that. It was genuinely really lovely. But my critique of it would be the fact that I asked multiple times because there was going to be this run. And I was like, it was when I was training for the Vitality 10K. So I was like, I'm doing like sort of 4 or 5 miles or whatever it is on my training plan for this weekend. Like, and it was going to be road and I was going to go very slowly. I think I was even going to Jeff it. And, they were like, it's totally fine. There's going to be no stress. Like, it's absolutely chill. And then the next thing I knew, we were hurtling up at like genuinely like a 40. It was like the incline that they did was crazy. When they got back and said it was like, I can't remember how many, like, you know, you'd like have a amount of
elevation.
It was nuts. And they just went off and I was like, I tried for a bit and I was like, there's absolutely no way. I'm going to get lost in the mountains if I try and follow these people. So I went and did my own run. But it was lots of very sporty German boys and quite gorgeous German boys as well. But it really does make you, it did make me a little bit frustrated and a bit sad because I was like, I asked multiple times. I really didn't want to be made to feel like I was an imposter within that group because I had done so much telling myself that just because I'm not from a super sporty, like, I don't know, running blog or magazine or whatever, that it doesn't mean that I don't deserve to be here. Like, I'm representing my audience and like, I want to know what this experience would be like for somebody who reads women's running. And I was really trying to say all of that to myself and really talk myself into it. And then off they went up that hill. And I was like, for fuck's sake, it is tough. And I feel like it's a weird thing to complain about because we're so lucky to be able to go on those things. But oh my God, they fill me with fear because every single time I am the least sporty person there.
Always. Every single time. Always. I'm going to be the oldest and least sporty and also the most overdressed because everyone's going to turn up wearing short shorts and they're going to have some very chiseled quads. And I'm going to be there kind of dressed in my usual sort of wetsuit from top to bottom and huff along to do my kind of, you know, 2 hours plus 10 plus whatever, like half marathon, they're all going to be coming in at 1:32 or something. I'll be like, oh, for fuck. So I know that I have to kind of, I just have to give myself a bit of a talking to. I'm going to be the last person that finishes, right, of this gang of people. I know I am. Mm-hmm. So I just have to be at peace with that and just think, well, they're not going to be sweeping up the road behind me. This is a kind of a general, it's not like, and I think some of the fear has come from doing that, the Apple press day a couple of weeks ago where I had to run 800 meters and came in last because everyone else was massively, massively sporty and super fast. Yeah. And everything. Not that super fast, just faster than me. And it really sort of chips away at your confidence, doesn't it? And it really, really, really does make you feel like a massive imposter. Like, what the fuck am I doing here?
Hugely.
What am I doing here?
Even at stuff that hasn't been, like we haven't been required to do something sporty, I've felt like being a curvier person has made me feel, and just not even that, just like not having the body shape of an athlete. Like, I'm not tall and leggy and slim, and I never have been, even before I had a sizable ass. It's just not ever been my, I'm not a naturally sporty person. And often everybody in the room looks like they are. They've got a high ponytail and...
always and, with the high ponies.
Yes, yeah. And their legs go up to their armpits. And and yeah, even just like events like that where we don't have to do anything physical, I've often felt like people might be looking and going like, why the fuck is she here? Who's she here to represent? Like, bloody...
And I also feel... I
Boris
feel like
Johnson
massively...
running club or something. I don't know why he was who I thought of.
But yeah, but then I come from an additional bit of imposter is like if we are on a trip with kind of influencer type people as much as sports journalists, then they're all kind of doing little reels. So I remember being in like shoe store openings and things like that, and they were all like, you know, in their high ponies and tiny short shorts, and people that wear high ponies and short shorts, welcome to our club. It's lovely
for sure
to have you, and you are amazing, and all we're doing is looking at you and going, I wish I had your ass.
I was gonna say, I'll probably fancy you. That's probably get into it, but
that's it. But those people can do the proper kind of videos and filming of them. I mean, I've been with those sorts of people where I've tried to make do selfies and end up giving us like 15 jowls and four boobs each or kind of thing. And they're doing all they're running, but also doing their little filming at the same time. And I'm like, oh God, I can't even do that bit, you know? So just like, oh, so I'm really, really scared, actually. I'm not looking forward to it at all.
I'm going to say to you what you have said to me when I've emailed you on press trips before and been like, oh, help, I'm scared.
What did I say? Did I say, oh, fuck off?
You were like, sorry, I'm trying to work here. You're dossing off in wherever it is. No, you said to me before that that you are there to do a job of representing a bunch of women who might not run if it weren't for you, Esther Newman, and who feel represented when they see you do your thing. And that's really important to them. And if you were running, not that there would be anything wrong with it if you were running 5 minute miles or whatever, but that if you were, then that might not have the same, you might not have the same effect on people who are there rooting for you. And yeah, you're there to represent the, and it's hard to say it to yourself without coming across like a bit of a dig, isn't it? But being honest, we have very average half marathon times for women, and
yeah,
that's our job. It's to show what the experience of an average woman runner is like, and there are blooming loads of people who can run a super super speedy and place in the top 10 half marathon who come from Runner's World or other nameless publications. But like, that's not us, and that's not our vibe. We aim to give the best advice that we can for people who are looking to get a PB or do something super sporty. But also, a lot of our listeners and readers and stuff are people who just want to know what it's like to run an average half marathon and whether they think that they could do that too. And yeah.
True, that's what you're there to do.
And
I need to shut up, don't I?
Everybody loves you, whatever you do as well, you know, like nothing that, who cares really what Mr. So-and-so from German running blog thinks or what, like, though I have met some very lovely German running blog men in these experiences, yeah. So I shouldn't slag
them off. To be honest, Holl, actually, if it does all go tits up, then like the podcast that we record afterwards is going to be brilliant, isn't it?
So it'll be a corker. Yeah. It's all content. If you fall on your ass, then there are going to be a lot of people waiting to find out all about that.
Exactly. And if I fall on my ass into a canal boat, then there's going to be a lot of people waiting.
You know what? This is a brilliant segue. If you're ready to move on, would you like to? Because, oh my God, you guys. Oh, can we have the What You Saying jingle? What are you saying?
What are you saying?
What are you saying this week?
What are you saying? Brilliant.
Thank you, Dave. thank you, Dave, in the studio. So many of you guys have sent your embarrassing moments in after our Wall of Shame episode, and it has given me so much joy. I barely know where to start. We've had so many. There's no way that we're going to be able to do them all today. But
can I very, very quickly, before you get onto it, say that I have been messaged by Canal Boat Amy, as she is now going to be called.
Well, that's where we're going to start.
She's just messaged, just to say, because she heard last week's pod, and she said, "I am Canal Boat Amy," she said.
Yes!
Yay!
We love Canal Boat Amy.
We love Canal Boat Amy. And she said that she's glad my shame provided some entertainment, which it really did.
It did.
Ages to get over that one.
Yeah. And we had a meeting with our team straight after we'd recorded that episode, and then we relayed Amy's canal boat story again, and then everybody else pissed themselves for like 10 minutes.
But then isn't it, you know, when you're laughing already and you think something is incredibly funny, and then you try and tell people about it and they don't laugh quite as much.
Yeah, that kind of did happen a little bit, you know.
Yeah. I did the same thing with Dave. I was like, well, honestly, this is the funniest moment of all podcasts of all time. And he's like, do you mean the canal boat thing? And I was like, yes! Anyway.
Oh, God. It makes me laugh a lot.
Yeah.
Was that the... I have to confess, this is outing myself to the listeners, is the fact that I often don't listen back to our podcast because I hate everything I've said and done. But did Dave use that as the funny bit at the beginning?
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
Sometimes I listen, but a lot of the time I'm like... Ooh, let's never think about all of those things that I said again.
I know. It's also when we're always thinking about like our bosses listening to us, and you just think, oh God, I've just spoken about the internal workings of my ovaries or something.
I know. God. Oh, we've got a speaking of, actually, maybe I'll start with one that had a phrase in it that really, really resonated with me. I would actually just like to say, sorry, this is terrible because I could save this information, but it's just come to me and I cannot not say it. Mm. I spotted that, you know, I am an avid watcher of The Traitors.
Indeed.
I spotted that Diane from The Traitors, who was the most iconic person, is going to be on Jenny's run pod because she's a runner.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that too.
I was like, should we try and get Diane on? But I suppose she's probably said all she's got needs to say on Jenny's. But oh, I love her. The reason that we all fell in love with her, Esther, to give you context.
Please do.
She was iconic all the way through. She's this Northern Irish woman that kept calling things out as they were. She'd be like, well, actually, I think you're a traitor. That was okay, actually, wasn't it? That wasn't too bad.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah. And she was great. But at one point, people were trying to say that she was the mother of somebody else in the competition. It was weird. Yes. Like, this guy just went, I've got a suspicion that there's a mother and son here, and I think it's Diane and Paul.
Yeah.
And she was like, that's absolutely ridiculous. To the camera now, this was in her sort of VT bit or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
She was like, that's absolutely ridiculous. Paul could never be my son. But Ross is. And Ross was another one of the members of the cast. And it was just the most exciting moment ever that she revealed that Ross was her son. They kept the secret all the way through until they were both eliminated, which was amazing. And Ross even had to attend the funeral of his own mother in the game. And kept it all deadpan. And I also discovered, further to this, sorry, this is nothing, but I'm just so excited about all of telling you all of it.
This is not what you're saying. This is what you're saying. Yeah, go on.
Yes, yes. This is what I'm saying, and it's all about the traitors. which maybe we should watch as our thing next year. Because it
okay, all right.
Oh my god, it's incredible! I forced you to. But my friend Meg, a friend of the pod, spoke about her quite a lot. We talked about her wedding. In fact, we talked about her and her partner shagging inadvertently on this podcast because we talked about their wedding a lot. Meg went to uni with Ross. I know. And oh, I was about to out some more information there, but I think before I do, I should check with her that I'm allowed to share it on the pod. But yeah, yeah, she knows Ross. And yeah, I know. Quite exciting. So I felt like I had an extra in to everything that was going on in the traitors there.
Well, it would be super exciting were it to program that I actually watched. I know that I would be buzzing right now. But
yeah. I'm oh, not. Esther, you gotta watch it. It's a gasp fest.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. I mean, yeah, it's not really my kind of thing, but Claudia Winkleman is my kind of thing.
Exactly.
So.
And Claudia is iconic because when they banish faithfuls accidentally, she'll be like, well, that was absolutely bloody disgusting of all of you and your complete failures. You've lost another faithful. She really goes in on them. Like, she's not happy at all with them when I think you better go back and really think on what you've done tonight. Sleep well.
Consider
your
choices.
Oh, yeah, God. she really goes for it.
Jesus Christ.
It's amazing. Oh, I've been seeing a lot of hilarious memes about it. That's like the other thing that you would hate and loathe with every part of your being as a writer and editor is the fact that they spell each other's names so awfully wrong when they do the banishments, they sit around this big table and they write who and they reveal I want to banish Sonia. Like,
oh yeah,
and yeah, the spellings that they get are so funny. It's like, yeah, I saw a meme of one where somebody was doing an impression of it, and they'd spelt Chris QWISP. It was like, I am going to be voting for yourself, Crisp. It was great. Oh, so funny. Anyway.
Anyway, yeah.
That's a bit about the traitors. We are going to watch that next week. I'm going to force you.
Okay. Oh, God. All right. Okay. But what's everyone else been saying? I want some embarrassing moments.
Okay. I definitely want to share this one with you. But where was the one that I wanted to say? Because it had, oh, here we go. It had a phrase that I absolutely loved. And when I get to that phrase, you're going to know that that was what I meant. Okay. So this is from Alison. She said, "Hi, Esther and Holly. One of the stories from your Wall of Shame segment reminded me of a similar experience I had last year while running the," and she's written this with an O apostrophe, so I'm going to pronounce it like this, "the Devil or the Highlands Ultra." So I thought I'd send you, oh, she's Scottish. She's from Dunblane. Amazing.
There we are.
She thought she'd send us a wee excerpt from my race report that I wrote afterwards. For context, the checkpoint I'm writing about here, Kinloch Leven, was about 6 hours into my race. The previous one in Glencoe was about 2.5 hours before that. It took me just under 10 hours to finish for 8 or 9 hours of which it had rained.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So fair play, Alison, straight away. Yeah, I'm fortunate in that I very rarely need to go to the loo during a race, but as I ran towards the checkpoint, knowing that I still had a long way to go, I was considering using the port-a-loo. First, I decided to put my jacket on now that I was thoroughly soaked and got into such a fankle. That wasn't the phrase. Fankle? I love that.
Such a fankle. I'm going to look it up.
Look it up. Fankle.
I'm looking up fankle.
Oh, I love that. I'm going to say that.
Soft southerners are like, what? Entangle. Entangle. It's Scottish. It means entangle.
Oh, beautiful. Oh. Okay.
We're going to use that always for everything.
Oh, got into
constantly
such a
getting
fankle.
In a fankle. Oh. I'm always fankled up.
Oh, beautiful. Oh. Thank you, Alison, for that.
Lovely. Nice.
Word of the day, fankle.
Yeah, fankle.
Got into such a fankle trying to haul it out of my pack while trying to shove my newly refilled bottles back in that I was offered a seat. The volunteers there were brilliant, fussing around me and ensuring I had everything I needed. And the lady who was helping me put a huge smile on my face when she told me we could use the proper toilets just across the checkpoint. Nice. Had I anticipated what was ahead, I might not have been so delighted.
Ah. Oh.
Since I first learned about them, maybe a couple of years ago, I've been wearing period pants for most long races, despite the fact that I'm pretty sure my menopause has been and gone with little fanfare, just in case. Sorry, Doug's ringing me. Shut up, Doug. Now, the thing about period pants, and in fact, their main selling point, is that they are extremely absorbent. Another thing about them is that to them, one liquid is much like another. So what they had been absorbing that day, once it made its way through my not at all wicking shorts, was the several hours of rain, rendering them, to borrow a term from a runner of my acquaintance, undercarriage obliterators.
Oh no. So they've gone really heavy because of the rain and
My pee took place in Kinlochleven, but my screams could probably be heard in Glencoe. There was nothing to be done though, other than literally pull my pants up and get on with it. By the time I had finished, I'd almost forgotten about it, although my post-race shower brought it all back too painfully. Safe to say, I'll be back to my trusty M&S knickers for any future race. Thank you, Alison, for the terms undercarriage obliterators
and fankle. Fankle. Yeah, that's going to live with me. But, oh, that's not nice. That's raw fanny, isn't it? That's
raw fanny.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Raw fanny.
Oh, dear. I've got another one for you. Fancy another one?
Go on, then. Yes, please.
As Davina would say. Okay. This one, I enjoyed this one a lot. I'm really sorry, by the way, because I need to edit these. When I read them, I just read them straight out, and it's not the first time. I've read them so that I can see whether they're funny, but it's the first time reading them aloud. And so that's why they're so terrible. I wonder, on Shag Married Annoyed, they probably got people who edit them for them.
Mm-hmm.
We can dream. Okay, anyway, this is from Tanya. Hi guys, love the pod and considered sending this in for your spooky run stories when you asked for embarrassing ones. I just knew I had to share.
Holly.
I know. It's a bit of a long one, but it is top tier cringe, so I think it's worth it. I love this one. A few years back, I went for a run in a local park. It's a loop about a mile, half through some forest and the rest past an open grass field. I was about halfway round, read as far away from my car as it was possible to be, when the heavens opened. You know the type of rain where you're wet through to your knickers. What a segue. Before you've even registered that it's raining, that rain. The only good thing was that type of rain is that it's quick. So by the time I got back to my car, by this stage, the only car left, it was sunny again. So I thought, sure, that sounds like it should be read in an Irish accent now. Sure, I've the park to myself now. Sorted, I'll do another lap. Sorry, Tanya, if you're not actually Irish. Now, a very important part of this story is an app called Zombies Run, which are you familiar with?
I'm familiar, yes.
I'm familiar with this too. I think it's an iconic idea. Producing a highly brilliant and successful running podcast. I'm assuming you know what it is. Oh, thank you, Tanya. And we do. But in case anyone doesn't, it's an app with a little story where you're out running to look for supplies for your camp following a zombie apocalypse. I'm actually so tempted to do it for my run this lunchtime.
You'd absolutely bloody love it. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never actually tried it. I'm very aware of it, but I'm going to do it this lunchtime. The narrator pops in your ear from time to time telling you what's going on, and sometimes she gets you to speed up because the zombies are coming for you. So I come sprinting out of the trees, running from the imaginary zombies in my ear, legs flying, heart pounding, feeling like I'm actually running for my life in this empty rural park at 3 p.m. on a Tuesday, when what should grab me by the shoulder but an actual zombie. So I did the only thing a person's brain allows them to do in that situation, and I screamed louder than I have ever heard anyone else scream in my entire life, right into this zombie's face. I jumped and involuntary but rather impressive 6 feet backwards, landing a bit funny and falling flat on my ass in the middle of the grass, all while screaming manically, of course. Your brain should have put the pieces together quicker than mine did. And you are correct that it wasn't a zombie, just a random man who appeared from absolutely nowhere and gently brushed my shoulder as he went for the overtake on a rather narrow path. Oh. I bet you're thinking, oh no, that's embarrassing, but I bet he got a kick out of it when you told him. No, I couldn't tell him. Remember, seconds before, I'd been hurtling away from the zombie hordes as fast as my legs would carry me. Between the exertion of that and the shock of my perceived real-world zombie attack, my breathing was in bits. Gasping for air and completely unable to speak, all I could do was wave him off and croak the word, fine, fine.
I hope he asked how she was.
I know. Well, I'm guessing that was in response to him going, are you okay?
Fine.
Mortified. After a while, I crept to my car and have never dared go back to the park in case I see him again and actually die of embarrassment. No. Oh, my
but
God.
But hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. I've got patriarchal issues here. I think. I am. Fucking zombies. I don't think that men particularly should try to overtake women if they're the only woman around on a narrow path. I think
Tanya taught him a valuable lesson.
I think because he could easily have actually got punched in the face. And I just don't think you should, because particularly if you're listening to something, like loads of runners wear headphones. I wear headphones. I wear open ear headphones. Lots of people don't. And what if someone's got, like, I've turned zombies into seriousness, but I think this guy is a bastard and I think we should out him as such. He shouldn't be.
What if he's a listener?
He shouldn't. What? I'm sorry. But I think you should just try. And I mean, unless you're
all
trying
going very
to
loudly.
Of,
excuse me.
Exactly. I'm coming through. Something like that. Don't leap out at unsuspecting solo women runners and expect them not to leap 6 foot backwards and almost wet themselves and think you're a zombie. I mean,
She makes a valid point. Well, this is just to finish it. It's actually not the only time that this has happened to Tanya. Being stopped by a bloke because she's absolutely terrified. She said, I know that's a long one. Hopefully gave you a laugh. I really should have learned I shouldn't listen to anything too gripping when out of the house. I once had a man stop me with genuine concern on his face and ask if I was all right. I realised in that moment I was in fact crying, so his concerns were reasonable. But luckily I wasn't out of breath, so I could tell him I was fine. But Molly Weasley was having a particularly horrible time with a boggart. Oh my God, please keep sending them in, because those were just two. There are some absolute belters in here and I'm so excited to share them with Esther, and please keep sending them in, because
please
you guys
more.
Are
yeah,
so
I,
funny.
I definitely want more. And also, actually, that tips into something else, because I wouldn't mind asking people about the showing of emotions on a run. Because I think that's what that tips into. I mean, I know it's Molly Weasley, but that's fair. We can get emotional at all sorts.
I've definitely cried over Molly Weasley.
Who hasn't? I have cried a lot on runs. I do it quite routinely, actually. Mm-hmm. And I will just pretend my eyes are watering or whatever. But usually it's because I'm listening to something that's kind of affected me. I remember listening to there's a book called American Dirt. I don't know if anyone's read that, but oh my God, I wept. American Dirt. It's a story of a mother and son fleeing Mexico to get to America.
I thought it was that autobiography about the members of Motley Crue. So I was confused then. That must be called something else.
Similar.
I was like, why are we, was it the bit when Ozzy Osbourne snorted up the line of ants?
I mean, that would make anyone cry, wouldn't it? Apart from Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, it wasn't that. Anyway, I cry a lot. So I want to know if other people cry. And
I cry on runs, but generally it's just out of like, I don't think I've cried at a book. I don't tend to listen to very sad books. I did listen to The Testaments, Margaret Atwood, once when I was training for a half marathon. That was my like listening fodder while I was doing it. And I think that got me a bit close a few times, but sometimes music makes me nearly cry. If I listen to a, if I'm listening to an emotional musical,
which would be what constitutes an emotional musical?
I think I might have cried in Hamilton, listening to Hamilton
while running before.
But I tend to cry out of slight desperation. Do you know what? Do you ever just start going like, when like just sort of whimpering when you run, like when it's like,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I actually remember that. I think it was training for like the last, I remember it being a half marathon training thing because I remember trying to do 10 miles and I was failing at those 10 miles. And I remember the last 2 miles of it, I remember just making noises. It was very childbirth-like.
Yeah.
go,
That's what I imagine it's like, that like, the only thing you can do is just go like, oh my God. And I have it sometimes when I've definitely cried, of course, a classic, at the end of a race when you see a loved one. I've cried when I've seen you at the end of a finish line. I've cried when I've seen Doug at the end of a finish line. Yeah. I nearly cried when I saw Cara, a friend and colleague of the pod now. And I was actually really embarrassed because Cara and Dave had turned up to watch me in the Bath Half, and it was the year that it finished up that really steep hill.
Oh yeah.
And they hadn't been at, they turned up a bit late, so they hadn't seen me at any other points in the course. They just saw me going up that hill at mile 13. I was really embarrassed afterwards because I, look, as we've discussed many times, my chin was grazing the tarmac at that point.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's what they think that it looks like when I run. Which it probably is, really.
Yeah, but I saw actual adult males being tended to by paramedics having run up that hill. And you did not need a paramedic, Hole.
Thank you. I didn't.
You needed a roast and a hug, and that
I
was it.
I needed a roast and a hug. I actually, that was a thoroughly disappointing post-race treat because I ordered myself a plate of chips and a glass of wine, and I was so excited for both of them.
Mm.
Could barely touch them. You know when sometimes it's just like, oh, nah, yeah.
Sometimes it's really, really hard. Sometimes I know exactly what I want and it goes down a treat. But yeah, sometimes it's actually really, really hard to decide on the right thing to reward yourself with.
I got it wrong. I was jealous because then Lex texted me. She'd also run it and she texted me a picture of herself about the same time with a huge glass of red wine and a gigantic roast that was obviously going down a treat. But my savvy bee and plate of chips was not, it didn't, I don't know why, I just didn't do it. And anyway, shut up. Is that how we should end every episode now?
Oh, but that said, I am running Bath Half because we keep on talking about it, but I'm running it on 26th of March.
I'm going to come and watch you.
That's why I said 26th of April for the New York one.
Esther, are you definitely running it on the 26th of March?
I'm definitely running it on the 26th of March.
I thought that it, and I think you're running it on the 24th of March.
Oh, shit.
I was going to say because I've got my choir concert on the 23rd.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have I done
tickets
it again?
Available. Tickets available, actually, if you'd like to come see my choir perform at the Forum Bath on the 23rd. Yeah, on the morning of the 24th, I am going to defo come and watch you because Lex is running.
Oh, hang on
well.
A minute. It says, I think it's the 17th of March.
Oh, fuck. Okay, on the 17th of March, I'm definitely going to come and watch you.
Oh, so I'm really getting this completely wrong. Oh, my God, I'm getting so mixed up. Let me just check.
Well, if it's St. Patrick's Day, then we're going to get on it afterwards. I'll line the Guinness up for you after you finish.
Okay, it's definitely the 17th of March. I really need to get my head in gear here. Anyway, if anyone else, if any other pod squatters are running it, I know we've got a few Bath locals. Meet us there. If Hole's going to be there.
I'm really obsessed with having a pint at the moment. We don't have to do that. We can have whatever we would like, but we could definitely... Yeah, come and say hello to me. I'll be watching Esther and Lex, and I'll be available for anybody
for
who,
comment.
Yeah, for comment on their performances.
Yeah,
I know there are a few pod squatters who are running it as well. So come and say hello.
Come and say hello. Yeah, let's meet up in Victoria Park. I wonder if they'll have that little warm up that they had before.
I would love to say let's go and do something, but I think it'd be quite difficult to organise. And I think I am going to take Lex out for a huge roast afterwards, which you're more than welcome to join for.
Thank you very much.
But pod squatters whose names I don't know, it may be slightly difficult to add you to the booking. Get in touch if you would like to join.
But come round for hugs. Come and find us. Please, come and give us
please
hugs.
Come
and
hugs. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be lovely to see you all.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, I guess good luck with all your training. And I will tell you next week how Barcelona went, and hopefully won't be crying.
I don't think you'll be crying. Please let us know what you do in Barcelona while you're there as well, because I'm hoping that you'll also get to do some fun stuff.
Hope so.
Let me know how they're getting on with that bloody Sagrada Familia. They've been doing that for years.
Not finished yet. It's a bit like Dave in the house at the moment.
Who's going to finish
Bridge
first?
Of Barcelona. Dave's house in Brislington.
Or Gaudi with the Sagrada Familia.
The race is on. Right. Okay.
Thank you for listening. Come and join us on Patreon. You can get a ton of extra Pod Squad benefits from just £2 a month, including newsletters, live chats, and you can join our exclusive Discord community for friendly chat and support with like-minded women runners. Go to patreon.com/womensrunning to find out more. This podcast was recorded over Zencastr. The producer and composer was David Newman. Please hit like and subscribe. That way you won't miss the next episode. And do please email us at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk with any questions or running stories, as we would love to include them in a future podcast. Happy running.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.